Okay, guys. Well, welcome to the TDC Connected meeting for July 25th, 2018. So you know, and many of you do because you received the email, I spoke with Bo Smith, and he came up with the subject matter for today's meeting, and it's kind of threefold. He had three questions that he wanted to talk about and address with all of you guys and how you've dealt with this situation. But number one was how to win back lost customers. The second thing he wanted to talk about was how to combat the Chinese handpiece customers. And I know we've talked briefly or touched briefly on that in the past, but my guess is that was a year or so ago, and it might be a good idea to revisit that and see if you guys have come up with some new solutions to that challenge. And then thirdly, how to combat a nasty supply company sales rep, which apparently Bo has in a Benco rep in his area, and he's trying to think professionally the best way to kind of deal with that in his offices and combat that as well. So anyway, we're going to get started here. All of your lines have been muted to kind of quiet down that background noise, but please just hit, if you want to interject, and we certainly encourage that from all of you, simply hit *6 on your phone, and that should unmute your line. And I'd ask Bo to do that first. Bo, can you hit *6 there and join the conversation here?
Can you hear me?
I sure can, Bo. I sure can. So just a reminder to everybody else, Bo's going to be speaking here for just a minute and is going to want some feedback from you. So if you've got some good feedback for Bo, simply hit *6 on your phone. That'll unmute your line and you can give us some good feedback that you may have. Bo, you want to talk a little bit about I'll let you kind of lead which one you want to talk about first, which one's most important to you of those three subjects that we had discussed the other day.
Yeah, absolutely, and hopefully somebody way smarter than myself can chime in, because here late last year, it seemed like it just started falling away. I've lost a few customers and some really good long-term customers to the Chinese market, so I know we've talked in our conference, and we've talked about the Chinese market and the laws, the FDA, and they're not regulated. But what I'm getting out here in my area, and I'm in the Fort Worth Church's area, most dentists don't really care about that regulation. I'm actually on my way to one right now who laughed about it. And they don't really care because it's so much easier to go on the internet and buy 10 handpieces for $112 and just use those as disposable handpieces. The spill that I use is, well, you know, the FDA, they're not regulated. I try to give the spill of, you know, the dangers of using a Chinese handpiece. That has not worked once, and I really don't think that the dentist really care, is what I'm getting. And I haven't won one of those customers back. So if somebody has a good win-back spill speech that they give, I haven't won one of those customers back. And on the same note as the Chinese market and the Taiwanese market, I suppose, because the other day, one of my customers that I did lose, who they're only local here in my area, and they explained to me and brought me in and showed me the handpieces that they bought to see if I could come up with something comparable. And one of them was the Choice Pro handpiece, the motor, contra-angle, and nose cap. They got it on Amazon. So not only am I competing with the Chinese market, somehow they've got that handpiece on Amazon. And I won't even bring up the Benco rep because that's totally separate than what I'm asking on this conference call. So if anybody wants to chime in, I'm all ears. And then I need to hit *7 to mute, David.
Well, you can go ahead and stay on the line.
Okay.
I don't hear any background noise on your phone, which is great. Every once in a while, folks may or may not know it, but they'll be driving down the road or just in their shop, and who knows, and we get a lot of background noise. But yours really doesn't have any right now, so I would say to go ahead and just stay on the line.
Okay.
Hey, Dave.
Down the road.
Yeah, Jay.
Yeah, hey, Bo, a quick question. These people who are buying the Chinese handpieces, are they doing everything slow speed, contra angle systems, and high speed?
Yes. So the two yesterday and the day before, so the one that I lost, they're using the high, yes, they're using motors, contra angles, and high speeds.
I was going to say, so in your, I don't know if you had a chance to follow up with these sort of scenarios as far as the actual, how long, and I understand some people, I've got a couple orthodontists who treat their hand pieces now as disposable because they do buy the Chinese stuff, and you know, sometimes they last 15 days, sometimes they last 45 days, and they just toss them. And I said, well, if you're going to toss them, give them to me. So I just want to look at them anyway. And they said, okay. But they said, you know, it's cheaper just to get new ones in orthodontic practice than get things fixed. And that's what they've been doing. So my question is, these people who are buying 10 for $112 or whatever it is, are they buying them every 2 weeks? How do they keep enough hand pieces to operate their practice?
Well, I'll give you an example. They're usually lasting about 3 months, it sounds like.
Okay.
And I have one of my offices who has, 15 offices in my area, they just supply them. She flat out, I watched her order them. And she's like, no, we just keep these in supply. And it's not that for an office, this is not an orthodontist office. This is just, they do mostly kids. But they just stock them, and they don't care. But I actually asked David. I've asked for the sheet, the regulation. Let's put something out there that we can show them this. You know, the FDA says this, and this is what can happen if you damage any damage is caused to your customer. I've yet to see that sheet. I know, and I do believe that there is lawsuits, because there should be lawsuits from Kavo, NSK, and Star, because their hand pieces are being replicated in China. So I haven't seen any paperwork, and I've had offices ask me for that paperwork. So I have not been able. All I can do is go say, hey, you know, those aren't regulated by the FDA. And you know, if that hemp piece causes damage to any of your patients, you have no recourse of that company. That hasn't worked one time. And I go into offices every day now that they just use Chinese hemp pieces. And that's every day. And if it hasn't hit your market, it's soon to hit your market, because It's yesterday, brand new office, went in, they took me back. They had some really, the guy has 14 offices, and she showed me it's a Kavo knockoff handpiece. It doesn't say anything on it. It doesn't even have a serial number. I didn't see one. But it was a nice swivel handpiece that looked like Kavo. Looked like a nice handpiece, actually. And they just bought a whole bunch of them. So that's what I'm seeing. They're lasting around 3 months.
Okay. Well,
the motors and the contra angles seem to last longer. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Scott. There's a certain mentality. If their mind is just completely convinced, it's tough to break through. It's also probably a little bit more sensitive to point out, but I mean, just like us, we work hard to get a customer, and the last thing we want to do is go cheap and blow it. If it's hard for them, you know, if if they have a patient sitting in their chair and they will really want to use something that's not going to be engineered, you know, just lack of sophistication and might be a little more chattery and noisier, if their patient has a bad experience, they're going to potentially lose patients. I mean, there's got to be a delicate way to kind of point out the business side of it without putting them on the defense. But that would be my approach. It's like you work hard to build a good practice with patients, returning patients. And if I went in and I had a horrible experience with some real loud, you know, choppy, now if they're saying they're getting just as good a performance, it's going to be tough to, you know, if they don't care about the liability and they, you know, but that's kind of the tact I would potentially try.
What is that? Have you used that and you have evidence of it working?
So I'm not actually in the field, but when we get one of those, you know, Yo Bang Bangs or one of those beautiful handpieces in, we, you know, we will call them and tell them, explain to them it's not economically worth repair, but we do have a, you know, even our Choice Pro, you know, priced as low as $250, I understand they can buy, you know, a 10-pack or two 10-packs for that, but, you know, at least we're giving them an inexpensive that's probably still a third of what, you know, a Kavo or something else would be with the one-year warranty, and we're also giving them something that has the FDA approval and all that. So, I mean, without just flat-out saying, dude, give me a break, you kind of want to say, dude, give me a break. You're not willing to spend, you know, this amount to be fully covered and, you know, on a quality handpiece. So we have had a few, you know, I basically tell the customer if they have enough handpieces already, then okay. But if they need to replace that, you know, I'm not going to repair that handpiece. If they need to replace it, this is what I would recommend. And or, you know, again, into the good used handpiece market is another option for somebody who doesn't want to spend top dollar. So I try to turn the conversation that way. And, yeah, I can't say I have 100% success rate with that. They might just hang up the phone and order two more Yo Bang Bangs online. But that's just the approach that, you know, that I would take with that particular type of customer.
Yeah, okay.
I'll mention this too, Bo. I mean, because we're kind of talking strategy here, and the fact is you've got customers using the Chinese, you know, cheapo handpieces. So it's how do you convince them to either A, buy their new handpieces from you, or B, have you repair the handpieces? And we ran into a situation here locally where Don had an office where they were purchasing the Chinese handpieces. And by the way, I would have to say this for sure in his office. It wasn't the dentist making the decision. It was actually just one of the girls that worked for the dentist that just had no idea what the difference in quality was. To her, a handpiece was a handpiece, so it was hard to get through to her. So we actually went there for a maintenance clinic just to show them how to properly maintain their handpieces because, oh my gosh, guess what? Their handpieces weren't lasting very long. So we were there for a maintenance clinic and actually had the girls sitting down, the people in the there was two guys, there was a big office responsible for the maintenance, and then one of the doctors in the office. And what we explained to them was, okay, you've bought these handpieces. You've bought basically a good shell with, in our opinion, a substandard turbine in it. But we've got, you know, Kavo quality replacement component parts nowadays that we can affordably put in these cheaper shells and turn this bargain of a handpiece into a Kavo quality type handpiece that's going to come with an extended warranty and have quality parts in it. And they went for it. They said, really? I mean, they were like amazed. It was like their eyes were wide open. Wait, you can turn this kind of cheapo handpiece into a Kavo quality handpiece? And we said, yeah, because essentially what you're getting when you're getting a handpiece is that dental turbine, that the business end of this handpiece is that turbine that's in there, the bearings, the chuck, balanced impeller, et cetera. And so we'll put those good components in these handpieces when they break down so that you, A, don't have to throw them away, and then, B, you have good, long-lasting handpieces in your office. And
Dave,
so
I have a question on that.
They went for it, and we're doing we've converted their Chinese handpieces basically into decent handpieces.
Yeah, so we've had the same thing with the Panamax, where the you know, the fake handpiece will take the OEM Panamax turbine, and it runs and feels great at that point. But what's the liability at that point, since the actual shell of the handpiece is not, you know, a real authentic NSK, or your example, a Cavo, but then we put in a good premium turbine into it?
Well, I know that the manufacturers that we work with have $2 million liability insurance coverage. So that, at least the turbine, we know it has some serious liability.
Would they fight it, though, saying, well, it wasn't put into a, you know, would they have grounds to get out of it if it wasn't put into a...
I haven't signed any documentation saying that we were only going to put that turbine in a certain kind of handpiece, and they've never provided me with any. So as far as I'm concerned, they shouldn't be covering their product. And then secondly, you know, dentists have multi-million dollar insurance coverages as well for their liability, right? So I think ultimately the dentist is probably responsible for the entire thing, and maybe not even the, you know, dental supply companies. I mean, I don't know if Sable would have any liability of a spindle, because technically the dentists are supposed to test every single handpiece before they use it on a patient anyway. As you know, the FDA recommendation that came down on the electric attachments was very specific in that, and it even had step-by-step on what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to check for the burr holding properly. They were supposed to check for the handpiece not heating up, and then it had gave specific instruction that they weren't supposed to use the handpiece as a gum depressor or something like that, to where they use the back end of the handpiece to just move the gum or cheek out of the way to get in at the side of a tooth. So I'm no lawyer, but I mean the companies we buy the product from have multi-million dollar product liability coverages, and then the doctors themselves have to have multi-million dollar negligence coverages as well.
Okay, so the bottom line is that if we got in a fake quote-unquote handpiece, but it would accommodate we are able to put in a quality turbine, we're okay to go for it versus just, okay.
And I don't put in the OEM.
We're not
putting in a 200-something dollar OEM NSK turbine. You know, we're putting in our aftermarket turbine with some Mionic bearings on it, so we've got a nice quality product in the handpiece. You know, and they're good running hand pieces, and they last. We had now, you have your ins and your outs. I think we just got one back from his dentist. They have a habit of dropping their hand pieces. We just got one back from a couple of months ago. But the other one that came in with that pack, we had done, I think, about 16 months ago. So they got 16 months out of a Chinese hand piece that we put a new turbine in for them. That's a pretty good lifespan.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Do we know of any cases of any liabilities or lawsuits where a doctor is being sued for using a Chinese handpiece? Is there actual cases out there?
I don't know of one. To be honest with you, the guy to ask would probably be Tim Ropechan. I didn't like his tactic. He had a big scare tactic going on, where you're supposed to go into the dentist's office and start threatening them about how they're going to get sued and they're going to lose their practice over using this Chinese handpiece. I mean, he took it to the ultimate extreme, which I think all you're going to do is tick your customer off beyond the point of salvation. That might be the very last straw if you felt like you needed to try and utilize a scare tactic with your doctor. But in our case, with Don, we just went in there, gave him a maintenance clinic, and basically convinced him that we can convert their... By the way, they had a mix of actual NSK handpieces and the fake NSK handpieces off of the internet, which you wouldn't know the difference because of the, you know, they both say the same writing on the side of them. I think they're NSK Panamax's copies they had bought. But anyway... we went in there and just professionally convinced them that we could turn all of their hand pieces into great running, long-lasting hand pieces, commended them, actually complimented them on the good deal they got on essentially the shells for these hand pieces, which is essentially what we said you've bought. You know, you got kind of a crummy turbine in it, which is failing, which is why we're in here talking to you. But the shell is good. So we can convert those hand pieces into, you know, OEM quality hand pieces like your actual NSK hand pieces that you have in your office. So we kind of did it in a way that we complimented them on their frugalness, but at the same time, you know, really, you know, put a hard push on convincing them to just convert all their hand pieces into good running OEM quality hand pieces, and they went for it. So we did the opposite of going in there and you know, scaring the hell out of them. But that's what Don and I did, and it worked great. I get it, Tim. You're talking about that documentation. When I get off the phone, I'll call Tim up immediately and ask him what he's got, what they've done at Shine to combat this situation, because obviously those guys have lost a hell of a lot of sales due to eBay and this counterfeit stuff that's on there. And if they've got some documentation.
Yeah, I can come by there and check it out for you. Okay.
Heck yeah. So anyway, to answer your question, Bo, I don't know of a single incident yet where a doctor's been sued for using a Chinese handpiece, but if there is one, I'm pretty sure Tim will know about it.
Yeah,
I'd love to see some documentation. I don't like the tactic of – I don't like the scare tactic. That's just me personally, and I'm not really out in the field. I mean, I've helped Don a couple times out in the field with some maintenance clinics, but it just doesn't seem like the right marketing approach to go in there and scare
them.
No,
I totally agree with you.
We went in there and complimented them, but then asked them for their business, you know, in a professional way, and basically, you know, really emphasized upgrading them to an OEM quality handpiece at this point. It worked.
Erwin,
so far, so good. Yeah, Erwin.
I found that I'm almost experiencing this. I found that most of the time the dentists don't want to pay the big money, so they actually go onto the internet and they will buy, you know, traditions and all this type of thing, and bring them in and use them, and then give them to me to fix up. And if they need a new one, would you suggest? You know, it's no good suggesting anything, because what they eventually do is they go onto the internet and they purchase this. The other question that I have is that I get the pushback when somebody says, "Oh, you're going to charge me $160 for a new turbine and bearings. I can buy a new one for that." So, you know, how does one handle that? You know, I can throw this one away, and for the same price, I can get another one from off the internet.
Well, that's what we've been talking about the whole time here, Erwin.
Yeah, I know that. We
understand that. That's what do you mean?
That's a different pushback, though. That's a little different from, I think, my perception that our prices seem to sometimes get in our way, and I also don't like to negotiate, you know, on a price thing. So that inhibits me from sometimes I normally say to them, you know what, wherever you get them, and if you want, I'll make myself available to check it for you. I'll do that for free, and then when you need it repaired, you can bring it to me.
I think you want to market yourself as more like a factory level repair at a fraction of what the factory. I think there's definitely a segment of the marketplace that is more, you know, economically minded, and I guess this call is maybe that's a growing percentage. So how are we going to combat that? But overall, your customer base, you don't want customers that are only looking for price. You want customers that want the quality. You want to sell them on, you know, you just can't compare a new handpiece that they could buy for that price versus you using premium parts and components and all that. And I, you know, When I get customers, you know, saying that much for a new turbine, I'm like, you know, I kind of say I do have a lesser, you know, priced option, but I strongly don't recommend it because it doesn't last as long. It's not as smooth. It's not as quiet. I know if you call around, you'll find someone that'll give you a lower price, but, you know, maybe I'll give them a little bit of a break, but, you know, I politely mm-hmm. kind of try to say I'm not interested in doing, you know, crappy repair. I'm you know, want to put something that's going to last and represent my repairs, you know, and my company as good as possible. So we, you know, have a long-term relationship. So I kind of would turn that, you know, that's just the direction I go and don't want to get into a price battle with the customer or that mentality. But I do understand the overriding this call is there's a growing segment of the market that, you know, so we do have to, we don't want to lose that whole share of the marketplace.
Yeah.
So I'll sit back.
Thank you.
Well, on that note, so not only it is what I mean, in the last year, it's the Chinese market is a, you know, that's a growing industry. But also some of my older dentists, and now that the younger ones too, they're joining these big, huge groups. And once they join these big groups, they're kind of going into the Henry Schein market. So you go like a Pacific Dental or something like that, where Henry Schein just gives it away to them. So we're kind of, this industry, I'm 7 years into the Dentist Choice. I love having this franchise, but the industry has changed so much in the last 2 years between the bigger groups, because it's easier for an individual dentist to not have to do any accounting. They just become employees of their own office. So now they're joined. You know, I get this a lot in my area. And I talked to my personal dentist about it, and he's like, you know what, if a group comes in and wants, you know, makes a good enough deal for me, he goes, I certainly would join in to that market. But so there's just a couple, there's some things that are changing, and I think really this call should be addressed as, what are we doing to keep up with this changing market?
Well,
and how are we combating it?
We do have some stats on that. When I started here, about 10% of the dental market were in dental practice management groups. So 10%, only 10% of the dentists. Now that's 20%. So 80% of the dentists out there are, you know, the single practitioners where they own one, maybe two offices. But now 20% are involved in these dental practice management groups. So that segment has grown. It's definitely grown. Luckily, it hasn't grown exponentially. It's been slow in its growth, but it's about 20% of the market is involved in these dental practice management groups, Bo.
Okay, so, and the reason that I reached out to you, and I'm sure some of the other owners, you know, it's really curious to make sure that we're keeping up and we're keeping educated on this different, the changing market that we're experiencing. And again, I'm out there every day. I've regressed back to old school stuff. You know, I'm on the phone in the mornings and I'm out there every day. So I want to make sure, you know, and I'm sure some of the other owners, we want to make sure we're keeping up with, you know, new strategies. If somebody else has something that works for them, please share your information. I think hopefully we can get back to, you know, maybe once a month, having these conference calls every month and kind of working as a team again.
Well, I'm all for that. I'd be happy to host this conference call every month again. I know we've got a little sporadic there. So if you guys are for it, I certainly am. But that's a great question for guys to maybe over the next month look at the different strategies they've employed. I will say this. The good news is overall, as a franchise, you guys are growing. I mean, what you guys are reporting in revenue over the last 2.5 years has been greater and greater. So that's obviously a good sign, you know, that you guys are doing the right things out there. So what are they? What are those things?
Hey, Dave, Bo, this is Jay again. I've been at this 18 years, and my experience, I'm just sitting here listening to this, thinking about this, but my experience with what I'm going to call the commercial-type practice, you know, the ones that got multiple offices and somebody in a corner office makes the decisions on who fixes what or how cheap they can get burrs. My experience has been they come and go, and it's all about price for them until they grind to a halt. This is, you know, I'm talking about specifically my area. I don't know that this is universal, but this has been my experience. They'll grind to a halt because everything they had, it just stopped. Then they call me up, ask me if I can bring them a bunch of loaners and fix a bunch of stuff for them and get them back working while they're waiting on their other stuff to come back from the people who do it, wherever that may be. Well, my strategy over the years has been, if I haven't done anything for one of those sort of practices in a year or two, whatever I charged them last time, I add $29.95 to the price, because I know I'm not going to keep them. I'm just bailing their little heinies out so they can keep practicing dentistry for a period of time. However, I've never got pushback from them when I said, okay, yeah, last time I charged you $159.95, now it's going to be roughly $200. They say, fine, we need them, fix them. But I know I'm not going to keep them. So I don't spend a lot of time trying to convince them that I could put a better turbine in or this or that, because they're going to chase the lowest dollar. I don't waste my time with them. However, when I do have the opportunity to bring them loaners so they can keep practicing dentistry and bail them out of their problem, they pay a premium to me because I'm not going to keep them. That's just my little piece of how I deal with that. And everybody kind of knows, because they all talk to each other, in a dental world, whether it's a city or a region or whatever, dentists talk to each other, and I've had people go, so you charge more for them? I go, yeah, they're intermittent. They're not a loyal, consistent customer like you are, who consistently give me the opportunity to give them great service. And that's how I've handled that. And I don't spend a lot of time trying to chase the chains, if you will.
Okay.
And I don't know if that'll work in your territory, but it's just something to consider from my perspective.
I totally like the strategy. I do agree with you on that.
Well, one of the other questions that Bo had expressed to me, although we hadn't discussed it yet, kind of been bouncing around the subject but haven't hit it head on, was how to win back your lost customers. And I guess that would be a great question. You've got a customer, you've lost them, you haven't heard from them in 6+ months. What do you do? Anybody out there dealing with that situation? I know you all deal with it here and there, because nobody keeps 100% of their customers all of the time. So if any of you employed any strategies to do that, Bo would ask me that as well.
Well, I know, so let me just premise this, is when I left AT&T, which is huge, and, you know, everybody knows who AT&T is, we had a win-back, just a whole win-back department. Hello? Anyway,
yep,
we had a whole win-back department, and so I AT&T strategy is just keep calling and nagging them and giving them free stuff. That's not really my strategy, because I can't stand AT&T anyway, but I would like a good strategy of, you know, what you guys are doing out there, what I can do, especially in the Chinese market. I have lost a few to the Chinese market, and I've lost a couple of big ones to the Chinese market. So I'm open for suggestions.
Anyone out there have some more input for us here? Just hit *6 on your phone to join in.
Hey, Dave. This is John from Fort Myers, Florida.
Hey, John.
Hey, Bo.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. I ran into the same problem with losing some customers, especially to the Chinese handpieces. And I never did get them back. But the one thing that I did do with them is because they were so concerned about price, I was able to convert them and said, why don't you do retipping with me? If you're looking to save money on hand pieces, why are you going to spend $25, $30 on an instrument when you can get them retipped for $7? So I was able to convert and hold on to those people that way. Other customers that I've lost through the years, seems like everybody wants to shop around. And I had a few that left, and some of them were a year, some of them were 2 years, and they turned around, came back, and started using me again. You know, so we do put out a good product with a good warranty, and they may veer off and go to, you know, a Benco or Henry Schein or maybe even a dental fix, but after a while, they kind of get tired of it, where they have a bad experience, and they always come back. So that's my 2 cents on the whole thing.
So you kept your foot in the door with the sharpening and the retipping.
I did, because they pushed back so hard that they wanted to use the Chinese handpieces. I was like, listen, it sounds like you're saving a lot of money. Speaking about saving a lot of money, how about we do some retipping for you? You know, I can save you a lot of money in this area if that's what you're looking to do. And at that point, they can't argue with you because they just told you that they wanted to save money on handpieces. So let's save some money on your instruments. And it's worked about 90% of the time. And I still have those customers. Even though they use Chinese handpieces, I do their retipping for them.
Now, do they use Chinese handpieces for everything? I mean, offices use scalers, they use slow speeds, they use hygienist handpieces, they use high speeds. What?
They do. They do more and more. I've lost a dozen offices to Chinese handpieces, slow speeds, attachments, high speeds. And once they switch, they switch. And I've even, you know, I did the same thing that you did where I put in the quality turbine. And that lasted for about a year, year and a half. And then they came back to me and they said, hey, we still can get 10 for under $100. You're charging us $189 for a turbine. It just doesn't make sense. So they went back to using the Chinese handpieces. And at this point, I just gave up on them. I don't even repair them anymore. If I see them, I tell them that, look, I can't fix this. This is made in China. There's nothing that's quality in this handpiece. And, you know, it doesn't make sense for me to even try. And I don't even waste my time anymore.
Okay, well, it seems like you could convert them, but you just don't want to waste your breath because it's just that you're getting too much of a negative or too much, I don't know what to say, but they're just not going for the higher quality turbine in there for you.
Well, even the ones that I did convert, it didn't last more than a year. You know, I did a few of them, and all of a sudden you run to two or three, and they look at the expense of a new turbine, and they say, well, why are we doing this? Let's go back to just buying 10 for $100. And so the ones that I converted ended up going back to what they were doing anyway and buying Chinese.
I wonder if there's a way, speak of dollars and cents, when you break it down to the per-patient level, it comes out to literally like 8 cents per usage on a patient whenever they're using that dental drill for whatever the procedure is. You're immediately getting into the hundreds of dollars, right, where it's a cavity prep or they're doing a filling or removing a crown.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the average cost per use being under 10 cents, it's like, why are you putting your patient at risk? Why are you using a substandard piece of equipment to save an additional 5 cents on a patient. I wonder if there's a way to attack it that way, professionally and politely and almost complimentary, if you can somehow do it that way. Because when you break it down to that level, it's like, yeah, why am I nickel and diamond? Because it's literally a nickel. I mean, they're spending more on the mask. They're spending more on the mask and the two gloves they put on to perform the procedure than they are on the equipment actually, you know, the workhorse doing the drilling and the procedure itself. Literally more money on the disposables.
I guess they kind of looked at it as a fixed cost. It cost them $300 and they pick up 20 hand pieces. It'll last them so much and that's their expense. It's almost like they can predict how much they're going to spend in a year versus a hand piece. You know, if they treat it well, it might last a year, year and a half. If they don't, it might last 90 days. And then they're constantly getting a bill. If they got 20 or 30 of them on a shelf, and that's what they're going to use for this year, they know what they spent. At least that's what I think.
I'm going to try and justify it for them.
I think I would just pose that other question for them. You know what I mean? Try and present it that way, possibly. A, talk about what Scott said. Factory-level repair at a fraction of the price. So that's how I would promote it, right? That was a great, you know, term that Scott used. It's he promotes a factory-level repair at a fraction of the price. So you could even do the same thing with that. And then actually give them the price. You know, the average price for you to use this handpiece on a patient is, you know, 8 or 9 cents. Less than the disposable glove and mask that you put on for the procedure. And you've got a factory-level repair and handpiece here. Plus, if they're environmental at all, is it really a good idea to be throwing away, you know, metal hand pieces, you know, one after the other after another?
Unless you can convince them they're ending up in the oceans.
Yeah, I mean, these are just going into landfill. Thanks for contributing to the landfill issue we're having.
Hey, guys.
Right?
Environmental or ethical, because there's also...
I don't know, maybe. I mean, we're brainstorming here. We're kind of spitballing, but...
Hey, guys,
just throwing that out
Gord
there.
Here from Mississauga.
Yeah, Gord, what do you got?
I want to chime in with just something else. One of the things you're finding, too, a lot of times it's not the doctor even trying to save money, but a lot of times the assistants don't want to be bothered with the hassle of sending out hand pieces because they've been kind of burned. So they end up spending a lot of time and energy on something and, you know, waiting through warranties and stuff like that. And a lot of them just don't want to be bothered. Anyway, just another angle on it.
Oh, that's definitely true.
Well, you've got to convince that decision maker that you're going to make it as easy as possible for them to work with you, right? But you do that anyway, right, in your normal marketing?
I mean, that's what I promote, right?
Yeah, you're trying to promote your great customer service and just like anyone else would. But, you know, with the Chinese stuff, they get zero customer service. I mean, if they pull it out of a box and it doesn't work, they have to throw it away. And, you know, that probably happens a lot. I mean, the QC on that stuff coming out of China is there is none, basically. And good luck trying to send something back to them. It costs you more in the shipping than probably the product is worth.
Well, my repair guy who does the sterilizers and that, he's bought a few things off the net, and he's basically said he had to repair every one of them and he would not do it again. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I heard similar things from some chair people that the stuff coming out of China was not working, leaking, having issues right off the bat, and they were installing chairs and then running into immediate issues. So I don't know why hand pieces would be any different, and I don't think that they are. So I don't know. There's a lot of different angles we've brainstormed here, Bo. And obviously you can go back and listen to this. I'll post it to the thing. But I've been taking notes here so I can kind of summarize it and just shoot out an email with the summary, which might help as well.
I was going to suggest that Steve, with all his great pull with the president, getting to place a huge embargo on him.
Well, last week or 2 weeks ago, or about a week and a half ago, you probably heard Trump literally put $200 billion tariffs on China. And I'm like, you know, that's probably, I mean, maybe that works. But China is definitely flooded our market. I mean, it's flooding this market. And I'm sure if it's we see it in the handpiece, I almost can see Henry sharing, because if you just Google or you go on Amazon and you look at dental handpieces, they just bring up all of these stores. So you can pretty much buy your whole supply for your office on Amazon through China. And it's got to be hurting Henry Schein and the big guys, because their reps, you know, it's easier to just go on and order through Amazon than deal with the Henry Schein rep, I would think. So hopefully, you know, they're battling it.
Well, I'm sure they are, and they're a multi-billion-dollar company. So if anyone's got the pockets to battle this for us all, it's companies like them, and I'm sure they're on the front lines of it. They got to be. But you know, it's all that crap on Amazon. It's just all that Chinese crap.
Yeah, no, I agree. But it has definitely affected. It's affected my business, and I just, you know, that's the whole reason for my reaching out to you yesterday, Dave. And hopefully we can strategize, or if somebody's got, you know, I just hopefully we can group together and figure this out. And for the ones who haven't been affected, that's awesome. And hopefully we can learn from you, but you can also be prepared, you know, to get ahead of this game.
Well, I think that everybody's dealt with it at least on a small level, right? With a customer here, a customer there, using, you know, bringing in the Chinese stuff. I'll be honest, I don't like Tim Ropechan's scare tactic. I don't think it works. I don't think walking in and, like, threatening your doctor is going to make him feel good about working with you. I think that you have to employ a strategy of talking to the guy, explaining it professionally. Like we said, kind of a factory-level repair at a fraction of the price. That's what we went with here locally with Don's doctor. It worked. It's not going to work on everybody, obviously. Maybe breaking it down into the per price, per, you know, use, being under 10 cents, less than the cost of the disposable gloves and masks that they put on to perform the procedure, yet they're getting the top-level, you know, quality repair. So why are they sacrificing, you know, their equipment, you know, using something that's literally probably rated a 1 out of 10 versus using a, you know, an 8 or 9 or 10 out of 10 for a few cents a procedure. I don't know. That might be a way to go about it. There's got to be a complimentary / professional way to go about it than the opposite. But as a follow-up, not that I want you to go in there and threaten your dentist, but I will get with Tim here and ask him what they've done at Schein, because they have to have done something. You know, to you, it's a customer here and a customer there. To Schein, who does business all over the world, it's probably tens of millions of dollars. So it's probably definitely been something they've been trying to attack. So I'll see what they've done strategy-wise.
And hopefully you can get some documentation on, have there been lawsuits? I totally agree with the scare tactics.
I'm with
that
you, though, on the
work.
Lawsuit thing. Like, I'll ask him, because if there has been, I'm damn sure they're going to want to promote that Dr. Smith over there in, you know, Seattle, Washington lost his practice over it, or, you know, something similar.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to be
not
able to
your cousin,
that
though,
out.
A different Dr. Smith in Seattle.
Somehow we're related. I know we are.
Does anyone else have anything to add here in the last couple minutes we have for us? Okay. Well,
hello.
As always, I thank all of you guys for participating, and We will rehash next month on some strategies here that people are employing, Bo.
Awesome.
Hey, this
is Mike.
What do you have, Mike?
Can you hear me? There, I finally got on. Sorry.
Yes.
I happen to be looking through the conversation. I went to Amazon and Googled handpiece, and here's one called the Panamax that's supposedly made in Japan. Down in the product description, line number 4, every feature is engineered to deliver unparalleled performance versus cost ratio. So that's exactly what you were just talking about, is trying to figure out the cost ratio. They're throwing it out there on their Amazon stores.
Okay.
That this is a better value for you, is what they're trying to say.
Yeah, and it's some Chinese copy of a...
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
But okay.
It's a $27 for a handpiece.
Yeah.
And crazy thing, on the handpiece it says made in Japan.
Not just Japan.
On the handpiece, on the photos online.
Yeah.
So is that false marketing or what, you know?
I don't know, but obviously, because they're made in China.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're all quite aware of that. So
yeah.
There's got to be something that's being done to combat this, because it's just absolute fraud. That's one thing that China just does constantly, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Copy stuff and then flood our market with this stuff, which is one thing that, going back to Trump, he bagged on him for, which was much needed because it's BS, and we should combat it somehow.
Yeah.
Well, so far he's the only one that's willing to actually step up to the plate. Who knows if it's, you know, if that strategy's right. Don't want to get political, but somebody's got to step up to the plate, you know, and either we're losing this market. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
He's trying, I hope it.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave and Bo.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to kind of piggyback on something Scott Mark said earlier about, you know, quote, sometimes you can rebuild the Chinese handpieces, and sometimes you just call them up and say, this is not worth fixing. I have an example of a dentist. He uses Midwest Traditions, and he has the standard version, and he has lever version. And he bought, I don't know, like 6 Yo Bang Bangs, thought it was a hot deal. And his experience with them was, and I fixed a couple of them because they were, the fiber optics thing still worked in it, whatnot. But in a course of about a year and a half, the shelves just became nothing. And when I was talking to him about it, I said, you know, these are shot. What would you like to do? And he goes, hey, have I got a deal for you? And I go, what is it? He goes, I've got a box. Remember those Traditions you used to fix for me? And I go, yeah, sure. He goes, I still got them. The shelves are like 10, 12, 14 years old, but they're still in good shape, you think? And I go, well, I'll check them out for you. And they were. And he says, fine. He said, I learned my lesson. Now, this is one guy out of probably 1,000, but he goes, hey, the body is important. He said, I know turbines are not going to last forever, ever. They got to be fixed. They've got to be replaced. He said, but the Tradition shells will hold up. And he said, fix my Traditions. And then as the Yo Bang Bangs die, that's okay. And I did, it's just another way to kind of look at it is, if you're getting Chinese handpieces to fix, as Scott mentioned, and they're not repairable, ask them if they still have the old ones they had, they were used before they got them, like Stars or Midwest or whatever, and go, you know, those shells last 10, 12, 14 years. Chances are you may have some that are still serviceable. We could put turbines in them for you and get you back running. That's just a strategy.
Hey, here's another thing on that, just on the quality, that going back to the quality, too. Mike B., are you still there? Well, I don't know if you are or not, but in reviewing that Chinese handpiece that says made in Japan, they've got 2 reviews. One guy gave him 1 star, says, 1 crown prep, and it froze up. What was I thinking purchasing this? Do not waste your money. Then the second guy, for some reason, who this review was only a week and a half ago, excellent, 5 stars. One of the handpieces I got was defective, but the seller sent me a replacement. So literally, the guy has just bought the hand pieces a week and a half ago. One of them was already defective, and for some reason he gave it 5 stars. So I don't get the 5-star rating there.
It sounds like that's a paid reviewer.
But out of two reviews, both of them, one guy did one crown prep and it froze up. The other guy, one of the hand pieces he got was defective right off the bat, yet somehow he gave him 5 stars. So that's what we're dealing with. That's what they're dealing with. But we could go on forever, guys, but we're sticking to our 1 hour here. Thank all of you guys for participating. We got a lot of good participation, and we'll talk again about this and other things next month. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you very much, David, and everybody.
Thanks, Bo. All right.
Y'all have a great day. Bye-bye.